When I was in Bible college, one of my teachers in a class, he used an acronym that he said, and you've probably heard it in other arenas or other places, maybe reading a book or something, but it's the acronym KISS, K-I-S-S. And he was teaching us as young preacher boys, and he said, this stands for Keep It Simple, Stupid. And that's what he said. Keep it simple, stupid. And you guys, don't try to get too smart. Keep it, and talking to us as preachers, saying, make sure that what you're teaching, and when you're preaching and teaching God's word, that it's being understood by the people you're teaching to. You don't need to try to make yourself sound smart or try to. And that's not to say that we don't study God's word and we don't go in depth in God's word. But even as we go into the deep truths of God's word, making it so that people can understand. And I'll remember that because it was in notes and it was on tests and things. But I thought about that because I like things that are simple. It's one reason that if I had a choice, I've bought much furniture from IKEA, but it's not always my favorite thing. Why? Because IKEA furniture is not the most simple to put together. Usually it has 5,000, you know, pieces and nuts and bolts and all the instructions are in Swedish and we can't figure it out. I would much rather keep it simple. I'd much rather have the furniture store deliver it to my house fully assembled and drop it off in the room. I like things that are simple and easy. By nature, we like those things. And here's the interesting thought, and here's where that ties in. And my message tonight is simply this: in the Christian life, my challenge as we finish off 2017 and move into 2018 for the Christian life is this: keep it simple. And it's interesting, we find ourselves in Matthew 22 where we started, where our church theme came from, beginning in verse number 34, and I referenced this morning, but it says, when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And we find in other places where you read it that the reason they were doing that, they were trying to trip him up. They were trying to say, there's so many commands. This is such a complicated system. To please God, to obey the Bible is this complicated life, what we would call the Christian life. They were trying to make Christianity far more complicated than it needed to be. And they thought, we're going to trick him because it's this complicated web of 600 and some laws in the Old Testament that you have to keep to make God happy with you. And whatever he says, we're going to catch him in his words. And if he says, this is the most important command, then we're going to be able to say, well, what about that? If he says, thou shalt not kill, well, what about thou shalt not commit adultery? And if he says it's this, and Jesus took this complex religious system and he simplified it. And he brought it down to two things. And Jesus says in verse number, they say, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus says in verse 37, he said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commands hang all the law and the prophets. Jesus said, get rid of your complex religious system and keep it simple. And this is where our theme for the year came from. And it's where I want us to end, where we started. He said, the Christian life is very simple. It's upward and outward. It's a relationship with God. It's a love for God. And it's a love for others. It's where we finished this morning in Ecclesiastes 12 as we finished our 19th message, going verse by verse through that book this morning. And this morning we looked at Solomon's summary. And what was his summary? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, upward and outward. A relationship with God that leads us to obedience. A relationship, a love for God, a worship, a devotion for God that changes the way that we live. And Jesus, and my challenge to you and to me is, we complicate things so much, don't we? We complicate our lives because of our own thinking and our wisdom and our sinfulness and all of those things. And we even complicate church work and we complicate Christianity. And Jesus said, when they came to him, Jesus said, keep it simple. The Christian life is simply two things. Love God with everything you have and love people with everything you have. If you'll do those two things, everything else will fall in line. Well, don't I have to remember thou shalt not commit adultery? If I love God with everything I have and I love my neighbor as myself, I love my wife and I love the person that I would get involved with in that relationship, I'm going to take care of that commandment by loving God and loving others. Well, what about thou shalt not steal? Don't I have to remember that? well, if I'll go ahead and love God with all my heart and mind, and I want to please Him, and then I'll love my neighbor as myself, I'm never going to steal. And you can go through all of them. What about thou shalt not covet? And what about greed? And what about anger? And what about all of these? You can go through all of it. And I don't have to remember 620 laws every day. If I'll keep it simple, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If we'll keep it simple in our Christian lives, we'll find that the Christian life is not a burden, but a joy. Religions tried, the religious crowd here tried to complicate it. Jesus simplified it. I want to have you, if we can, a few of you, let me just see if you have your Bible, maybe somebody willing to turn to a spot in the Bible, and I'll give you a reference and a few references here, and I'll have you read it aloud. We don't all have to turn there. Anybody have a Bible with them they're willing to turn? Or am I going to be turning to all of these? Matt, would you go to the one we were in this morning, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Who else? Mac over there, would you go to John 13, 34 and 35? Let me see who else has right back there. Alex, would you go to James 1:27? I've got two more. Somebody else have right there? I'm looking for a Brother Doug, would you go to 1 Timothy 6:8? And then Todd, would you go to John 14, 15? And I want us to see, and I just pulled out a few familiar verses from God's Word that go along with this idea. Jesus was constantly simplifying the Christian life. God's Word is constantly simplifying. We're constantly complicating. Jesus said here, keep it simple. Now let's go. Matt, would you go ahead and read? Stand and read there. Ecclesiastes, we read it this morning, but read Ecclesiastes 12, 13. Solomon went on this grand experiment of life, trying everything in the world. He complicated life. If you read chapter 2, I got me houses and lands and vineyards and careers and properties and servants and all of this stuff. I tried everything. Solomon said he complicated his life, and he said, the more you have, the more trouble you have. And as your goods are increased, they are increased that eat them. He said, the more I got, the more complicated my life got. Solomon gets to the end of his grand experiment, and what did Solomon say to us? He said, keep it simple. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. I tried it all. I had everything. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. It doesn't get much simpler than that. It doesn't get much more comprehensive than that. Who turned for me to John chapter number 13? Mac, was that you? Would you stand and read John 13, 34 and 35? What did he say here? He said, a new commandment I give unto you. I believe he's referencing back again to that system of laws. And he says, here's what I need you to focus on, followers of me. This is it. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. And then what did he say? If ye, there in verse 35, would you read 35 again for me, Mac? I'm sorry, I just lost it. Isn't that interesting? He says, here is the indicator that people are going to know that you're one of my disciples, that you're truly a follower of me. We could say, well, is it because they're going to know because I preached a good sermon? They're going to know because I helped a lot of people. They're going to know because I gave a lot of money. They're going to know because I wore the right clothes. They're going to know because I said the right words. We could have a whole long list of how are people going to know that we are truly followers of Jesus Christ. And you know what Jesus said? He said, let's keep it simple. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. What is it? That you have love one toward another. Jesus said, here's one way everybody's going to know there's something different about you. It's not in the way you look. It's not in the way you talk. It's not in the things you've done. It's in the love you show. What did Jesus tell his followers? What is he saying? Keep it simple. Love God. Love others. Upward. Outward. Next one. Let's have whoever it was that was turning to James chapter 1 verse 27. Would you stand and read that? I'm not sure who raised their hand. Right there, Alex. James 1:27, again, pure religion. What is it that is to be a follower of Christ, to be truly religious, pure religion? What is it? It's to love people and to love God, to keep himself unspotted from the world. What is that? It's a relationship to God, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, to love people. Again, James 1:27, very simple definitions. A reminder tonight, over and over again, we complicate things. And I'm not... I'm not saying we don't obey the laws and the commands of God's word. I'm saying sometimes we get so focused on the externals. Am I doing right? Am I talking right? Am I looking right? Am I dressing right? And we worry about all of that, and we think that that's going to lead to an internal relationship. Jesus said the opposite is exactly the truth. The exact opposite is what's true. The internal will lead to the external changes. If you fear God and keep his commandments, the relationship will lead to the right actions. We want the actions to lead to a relationship. And Jesus is saying here, keep it simple. Pure religion, love people, keep yourself unspotted from the world. Love people, love God. And then 1 Timothy 6:8, who was that? Brother Doug? Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. What does the writer there say? In Timothy, what is Paul teaching him? Keep it simple. The list of what you need to be thankful and content with what God's given you, food and raiment. Something to eat, something to wear. What's he teach? Again, don't we complicate it? Well, I've got to have that. I've got to keep up with the Joneses, and I've got to have that in my portfolio, and I've got to have that in my garage, and I've got to have this, and I've got to have traveled to that place. And if God gives us material blessings, praise God for it. By the way, God has given all of us material blessings. All of us are in the top couple of percent of the world as it relates to physical wealth, material wealth. All of us are extremely blessed beyond our needs. All of us. And you say, you don't know where I'm at, Pastor. All of us have far more than we need and deserve, and far more than the vast majority of the people living on planet Earth today. All of us. But even still, what happened there in 1 Timothy? Paul says, let me simplify for you. Here's what you need to be content. If you have these things, it's very easy. It's a two-part checklist. You should be content in your life. Having food and raiment, let us be there with content. If you're like me, have you ever been discontented? You don't have to raise your hand, but you've been discontented in your life. I wish I had more. I wish I got paid more. I wish I had a better place to live. I wish I had newer clothes to wear. I wish I had this. I wish my kids could have that. I wish I could provide that for my family. I've been there, and you maybe covet or you desire or whatever, you want those things. And what did Paul say? Keep it simple. The Christian life is simple, upward and outward. Contentment, food, and raiment. The last one, and we'll finish it up. Todd, John 14, verse 15. Very simple. If you love me upward, keep my commandments outward. Jesus speaking in some of his final words there. If you love me, to Peter, what did he say? Feed my sheep. Just do what I've asked you. Keep it simple. Don't worry about the long list of rules. Worrying about giving your life. Keep yourself unspotted from the world and love people. Earlier this year, I had the privilege to go on the game show, Wheel of Fortune. And I forget what month that was. Was it April, I think? March? And so I was in the midst of preaching through this series on upward and outward. And I was there, and Wheel of Fortune, there's paperwork, and they send you this packet of, it's not a simple process. There's auditions, and there's callbacks, and then there's the stuff comes in the mail, and then you've got to send them your driver's license, you got to sign all this stuff, and you've got to show up. I had to go a whole nother day for 12 hours and be an alternate and watch six tapings of six shows. Then I had to come back the day that I was going to be on the show, and I was there at 7 in the morning. It was my family day, my day off on a Thursday, and I got there at 7 in the morning, And they begin, and you have your orientation, and they teach you what you're going to do, and they go through the rules, and then they do makeup, and then you come out, and Vanna stopped in and said hello to us, and then they come out and show you the wheel and how to spin it, and you have to practice that, and then they put the microphone, and they get your name, make sure it's spelled right, and there's all these details that complicate the process. And then they draw the name, what number you're going to be on. And I think I was on the fifth or sixth show. I want to say the last show. And so I had to watch all the other shows. I've been there since 7 in the morning. And it was interesting. As we get ready to come up, in between shows, they're getting you mic'd up. They're getting you your makeup on. And they have a person, not Pat or Vanna, but they have a person that's there that's having you spin the wheel and practice so that you're ready so that you don't look dumb on TV. And we still do a good job of making ourselves look dumb on TV. That's after all of this preparation. The people still do the crazy things where they look like complete idiots. But this person, it was interesting. In March, here's what she said. And she said, and she's spinning it, and here's what she's saying, because your automatic tendency when you spin is to look down at the wheel, and then your tendency when somebody else's turn is to look at what they're going to get and what they have. And here's what she said, and I was in the middle of preaching through these series, Upward and Outward. And here's what she said as I stood there at Wheel of Fortune. One of the producers is standing there. You know what she told me? She said, here's the key to the game. upward and outward. She said upward, and upward, oh, there's the whole board, but to the left of the board, there's a TV screen that has all the used letter board. And she said, always be looking up there. Don't forget about that. That's how people end up calling duplicate letters. And you'll call a letter that's already been called and you lose your turn. Don't forget about that board, upward and outward. She said, when somebody else is spinning, you're going to be tempted to look and see what they're getting and to look at their totals. And to the left over here, there's a screen that tells you how much you've earned and how much they've earned. She said, don't worry about that during the puzzle. That'll get you distracted. She said, just keep your eye on the puzzle and the used letter board. Don't even worry about where you land. Be totally worried about what letters are up there and what your next letter is. Think about letter combinations. Think about vowels. Think about those things. And she said it several times, upward and outward. What was she telling me? The key to this complicated, and when I say complicated, there's TVs and there's lights and there's a crowd and there's applause and action and there's all this stuff. There's all this stuff all around you. You know what she's trying to say to us as the contestants? Keep it simple. Don't focus on your neighbor. Don't we do that in Christian life? Well, I wonder what they got. I wonder what piece they landed on. I wonder if they're going to mess up on their puzzle. She said, don't worry about any of that. You focus on the puzzle and the used letter board. That's all you need to know. If you do that, you can't control where the wheel lands, so don't even worry about it. You can't control how well that your neighbor does, so don't even worry about it. She said, keep your focus upward and outward. And I thought, what a great analogy. One, it tied right in because I was preaching through that. What a great analogy of the Christian life, though. We're so worried. I wonder if he's going to solve the puzzle. I wonder if I'm going to win this. I wonder if what I'm going to land on. I wonder what they're going to get comparing yourselves among yourselves. You're not wise. I wonder how much money they're going to make. I wonder who's going to win that. No, just focus on the task at hand, upward and outward. And so today, tonight, the last thought on Sunday night, New Year's Eve, the last few hours of the year, here's my challenge to you. Right where we started January, first week of January, my challenge to you is this. Keep it simple. Your Christian life in the new year, love God, love others. Contentment, food, and raiment. Pure religion, keep yourself unspotted from the world. Love the fatherless and the widows. What is that? The idea there? Love the people that can do nothing for you. Just love people because God loved you. Love. Love God, love others. Master, what's the great commandment? The great commandment is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Thy soul, thy mind. They thought they were going to trick them. Oh, no. And by the way, the second's like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Hey, guys, you're all worried about what's the most important command out of 600? Keep it simple. Love God and love others. And hey, Pharisees, if you'll learn to do that, you'll be fine. On this hang all the law and the prophets. In 2018, church, let's keep it simple. Love God and love others. Lord, I do thank you for your word and for these simple thoughts, ending where we started with upward and outward. Dear God, I pray that each one of us would seek to keep it simple in our Christian lives. I pray that, God, we would understand, we wouldn't complicate things with our greed and with our desire for more than you've given us. Help us to keep it simple, having food and raiment. Let us be there with content. God, in worrying about all of the externals, God, help us to keep it simple. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. This is the one thing, if you have love one toward another. Well, what about that one that doesn't, they don't look like me, Lord, and what did you tell them? If they're not against us, they're for us. Help us forbid them not. Lord, keep it simple. Just love you and love people. May we internalize these truths is my prayer in Christ's precious name. Amen.